You've got obedience to God. You've got faith and belief, right? And so that's over and over and over again. And you see John, he reiterates it here in John chapter 5, a brief overview of what we've already gone through the first four chapters here. And the Bible says you've got all three of these right here. And John's been talking about the Holy Spirit's been placing that in the Scriptures so that we get this thing. And it's an important thing. The Bible says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him." Right? And Jesus is the Christ, right? That's the anointed of God. And you know who that's offered to? Whosoever. The Bible says, "Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of the life freely," right? And so, the Revelation, he says, Spirit calls again. Revelation. I think it's in Revelation. Is that, I can get through all these notes. Revelation 22. And the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever let him take the water of life freely. So it's offered to everyone. And that is the anointed of God, Jesus Christ. He's offered to everybody. Look, if you would, in Acts 4. Acts 4, 26. I'm a little wired here this morning. I got too much coffee in me. Acts 4, 26, the Bible says, "The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." And that is Jesus Christ. He's anointed. Verse 27, "For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together." And they were gathered together when he was on earth to come after him. And they're going to be gathered together at the end of the tribulation when they come after him. And they're going to be gathered together in the millennium, at the end of the millennium when they come after him. And they're not going to avail to any. They're not going to avail. They're going to lose. This is a quote from Psalm 2:2. I'll give you one in Psalm 2:2. Job Psalms. The Bible says, "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." They don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. And that's the majority of this world. And folks, it's the Holy Spirit that leads a man to say that Jesus is the Lord. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, guess what? You're never going to say it. You might say he is Lord, but you're never going to say he is the Lord. And we went through that last week. Why? Because you've already chosen somebody else or something else as your Lord. So you can't say that anymore. And it wouldn't matter if you could. Because it doesn't, once you die or once Jesus Christ comes back and you miss that opportunity to say it before, you don't get that opportunity again. You don't get it. And if you did, it doesn't do you any good anyway. So nobody's going to. Nobody that didn't do it already isn't going to do it when he comes back. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the Lord, 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12. And that's why the devils, right? The unclean spirits, they don't say he's the Lord. They don't say that he's God manifest in the flesh. Why? They chose Lucifer long ago. And that's who their God is. They chose to rebel against the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. The Bible says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit, for the body is not the member, but many, okay? And so it's by the Spirit of God that you're going to say that there is one Lord. There is the Lord Jesus, and Jesus is the Lord, right? Again, you can't love. You cannot love without loving the Son. You can't love the Father without loving the Son, and vice versa. And you're not going to love others the way you should, according to the Bible, without loving the Son. Look, if you would, in John 8. John 8. You're not going to love God the Father, and you're not going to love God the Son. I know this is review, but it just keeps coming up. 8:20-42. The Bible says, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceedeth forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Right? And so if you make Jesus, or if you make God your Father, guess who you have to make? Your Savior. You got to make Jesus Christ your Savior. Now look, if you would, 1 John chapter 5. There's more in this verse. The Bible says, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Right? And so now God begat Jesus, and also God begets everyone that trusts in his Son. He begets them. And by what's called, that's what's called being born again. Born again. And that is being born of the Spirit. The Bible talks about that. It's being born of the Spirit. And that is being born of God. That's the new birth, folks. It's the new birth. You're going to go through life, and you're going to see, and you're going to hear a lot of people say that they love God, and they're going to do all sorts of things. Not only now, but later, during the tribulation time period. They're going to do all sorts of things. And they're going to, they'll cast out devils. They'll do many wonderful works, and they'll do it in Jesus' name. What? Why? I mean, but that doesn't make them child of God, and that doesn't make them born again. That doesn't make them born again. Why? Because it's going to come down to that they never believed that Jesus Christ was God. They never believed that he was manifest in the flesh. And they're not going to love saved people or people that are God's brethren or God's children like they should. They're not going to. They can't. They can't. They don't know. They don't have the love of God in them to love others. And we talked about that last week. It's the fruit of the Spirit. But they don't have this fruit of the Spirit to love others the way that God wants them to. And so they can't. And if a man loves God, then he will love those that are in God's family the way that he should. He will. He will. And that is for this age, and that is for the ages to come, folks. That's for the ages to come. After the tribulation, it will be known. It will be known who loved God and who didn't love God by what they did with God's children. Jesus calls them his brethren in Matthew 25. You're a brother. You're one of Jesus Christ's brothers. You know what that makes you? A child of God. It makes you a child of God. And so it will be made manifest. Others will know. Look at what it says. For this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. But other people will know. And they will know at the end. At the end of that tribulation. They'll know based on what they did with God's children. And in the tribulation, those that don't believe on Jesus as God manifests in the flesh, they don't love God. Folks, they don't. They can't. The scriptures are very clear. If they don't love the Son, they don't love God, the Father. And look, if you would, in Matthew 7. Matthew 7. You can't love God without the Son. You can't love the Son and not love the God the Father. It just can't be done. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. The Bible says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." We know what the will is. The will is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to love others. And that those two commandments don't change throughout the Bible, folks. In the Old Testament, if a man loved God, he didn't hurt his neighbor. He didn't. Why? Because he loved God and he believed what God said. And folks, whether you believe this or not, Jesus Christ is throughout the Old Testament scriptures, even though they didn't know him. And when they believed those scriptures, they were believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it may not have applied to them until after the crucifixion, but it got applied to them because they did believe those scriptures. And that's how you become a child of God in this day and age, is by believing the scriptures, believing what God says. And God says, you can't come to me unless you believe on my Son as the Christ, the only one, no other. And so it'll be made manifest who loves God and who doesn't love God. It'll be made manifest here on earth today, and it'll be made manifest on earth at the end of that tribulation when God brings people up and says, did you really love me? Then why did you put this guy to death? And why didn't you help this guy? These were my brethren. Why didn't you give him something to drink? Why didn't you put clothes on his back? And so forth. And they're not going to be able to do that without the Spirit of God helping them, folks. They're not. They're not going to. And it seems like God is so merciful and gracious that he gives people a chance now, and he's going to give people a chance again in the tribulation. And guess what? He even gives people chances in the millennium. And at the end of that millennium, you will know, people will know who loved God and who didn't love God. Why? Because they're going to come after Jesus Christ. They're going to come after a child of God. And why? Because they don't love him. They don't love him. Verse 2, and John chapter 5. I hope that makes sense. I'm trying to, trying to pull everything in there, but there is a lot of other doctrinal things, but we're trying to make sense of this and apply it to all ages here in 1 John, because it's going to get applied, folks. It will. Maybe we're doing it right. Maybe I'm doing it right, or we're trying to do it right. Maybe we're not, but that love is going to go. It happens in the Old Testament, goes in the New Testament, and it's going to go throughout the eternity. It's just going to do that because he puts too much emphasis on it for it not to. Verse 2, again, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Okay, reiterates it again. You can't love God's children unless you love God, and you can't love God if you don't believe that Jesus is the Christ. And folks, there is no way. There's no other way. You have to take him as your own. And then the love of God will work in you to love others. And there's only one commandment for the Christian after he trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And that command will fulfill all the law. Because he's already loved God. And now all he's got to do is let that love of God work in his life to love others. And that's it. You're never going to break the laws of God if you do that. You won't. And if you love others, then you know what happens, right? You love the children of God. Why? Because they fall into the group of others, folks. See, we look at this and we say, well, all we got to do is love the brethren. And I bring forth this argument. You don't know who they are. So others, Jesus Christ brings others and brethren and love your neighbor all in the same mix. He does. And when you love others, you're going to love the child of God. You will, because he's going to be in that group. And so, now, there is a blessing that one gets by obeying the commandments of God. And you know what that is? It's right there. It's the assurance of your salvation. You get this assurance. Why? Because if you've been saved, especially later in life, if you've been saved, you know that you didn't love other people. Right? You know you didn't. And there's times where, as a Christian, it seems like you don't love other people. You don't. I get to that. You know, I get that too. And then you got to just confess that and move on and try to get right with the Lord, because you're just getting out of fellowship with God when you do that. And there's a fine line between this flesh and this, the spiritual man and the fleshly man here, folks. And it's a tangle. It's a war, and we got to fight it. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Now, by this verse, we see that for the born again, the believer, the commandments of God are not grievous, right? They're not. Why aren't they grievous? Well, let's look at some of the benefits that we get from being a born-again believer. You get one benefit for being a born-again child of God. You're in this country anyway. If you're in this country, no matter where you are on this earth, you have the Comforter inside you. You have this Comforter inside you, which is the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is leading you and directing you in this life, right? And we know that if we're yielded to the Holy Ghost and we're not grieving him, that he, no matter what we do to the Holy Ghost, he's never going to lead you down the path of sin. When a person goes down the path of sin, it's because he's already grieved the Holy Ghost, and he's kind of stifled him in a way where he's not listening to the direction anymore. And he's doing things on his own instead of letting the Lord lead him. And so, but the Holy Spirit will never, the Holy Ghost inside a believer will never lead us down the path of sin, but will always lead us down the path of righteousness. Always, folks. And the path of righteousness is to obey the commandments of God. And that, my friend, is a great benefit that we have as a believer that unbelievers don't have. They don't have that. And the Holy Spirit will never lead a person to do wrong to his brother. He'll never lead a person to be disobedient to God in any way. In any way. But the way of the world will. The way of the world will. Folks, you know what the way of the world is? The way of the world is hard. Not the commandments of God. The commandments of God are not grievous. The way of the world is. Look, if you would, in Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. One of these days I'm going to shave this stuff off. I don't like how it's coming out. It's all blotchy. Proverbs 13. And it's not itching yet. Proverbs 13. 13:15. The Bible says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. The way of transgressors is hard. The way of the world, folks, is not keeping the commandments of God. And what are his commandments again? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on his Son, God's Son. Don't do bad to your brother. Love your brother. Love others. Love thy neighbor as thyself, right? Look, if you would, in 1 John 3:4. 1 John 3:4. The way of transgressors is hard, folks. It's hard. 1 John 3:4. And I can tell you that from personal experience. When you start disobeying the word of God, it's very difficult in your life. It makes it hard. It makes it hard. Hey, God's got authority set up all over this world to come down on you with a hammer. With a hammer. when you get out of line, especially if you get out of line towards your brother. Now, God will come down on you by himself when you get out of line with him. But when you get out of line with your neighbor and with your brother, the hammer's coming down, folks. And it will. It'll catch up to you. But the way of the world is, it's hard. And the way of the world doesn't want to keep the commandments of God. And that's sin. 1 John 3:4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth. Right? The way of transgressors is hard. Also the law for sin is the transgression of the law. Oh, is that what it says? Yeah, sin is the transgression of the law. And so God sets up his laws, first, not to offend God. And second, not to offend others. That's how it's set up. That's how it's set up. And when a person offends God, you better believe that he will offend his neighbor. Why? Because he's out of line with God. And if he doesn't get right with God, he's never going to get right with his neighbor, folks. He never will. And why? Because there's no fear in that person's life. And it's not a godly fear. It's an ungodly fear, fearing not God. Right? And when a man fears God, they'll obey him. But when a man doesn't have any fear for God, probably because he doesn't believe that he exists or for whatever reason. The Bible says there's many out there that are going to go that aren't going to believe him. There's many out there that aren't going to believe his son. And so why won't they do that? Probably because they don't fear God. They don't really believe that God, there's a God in heaven that's going to throw them in an everlasting lake of fire at the end. And hey, if you don't believe God because he's there and he created everything, you better believe him because he can burn you. Right? There's one or two ways you can look at that. And I hate to say it like that, but hey, God doesn't want to burn anybody. But he will, because that's how his judgment is set up. And he's a just God, and he gives whosoever a chance. But not all will take that chance. But people, they don't fear God, and they find out that the way of the world is hard, folks. It's hard. The jails are full of people who have stolen from others, who have killed others, who have hurt others, and that's hard, folks. It's easy to do right. You don't get punished for doing right. Well, sometimes you do, but God's going to reward you later if somebody punishes you here for the good that you're doing. But God has this thing set up so that a man is going to reap what he sows. And if a man reaps corruption, if he sows corruption, he's going to reap more corruption than he sowed, because that's just the law of reaping, folks. It's the law of reaping. Same with if you reap to the Spirit, if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life everlasting. And whatever you sowed is going to go in there, anything good. And you're going to enjoy that for everlasting life. And so it's easy to obey God, especially when you have His Spirit inside you after you're born again. It's easy to obey those commandments. And if you don't want to, man, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. And there's too many of us that went down the hard paths and are reaping still from those paths, even as saved people. Because God judges His children too. He will judge you here on this earth so that you get right with Him later. So that you get right with Him on earth. And if you don't get right with Him on earth, it's going to be a hard life, but you'll be right with Him later in heaven. You will. Because especially if you've trusted Him. If you've trusted Him, then you're definitely going to be right. If you didn't trust Him, you're not going to ever be right. But as children, we don't have to go through this life wondering if we can do the Word of God as children of God. We don't have to go through life wondering if we can do these commandments. Why? Because we have everything God wants us to do. We have all that right in front of us, folks. in the Bible. We don't have to go through life wondering, hey, are we doing the words of God? Are we doing what God wants us to do? We got in this country, we have it right here. And so we got a copy. We can look it up and see. Not only that, not only did he give us the Comforter, he gave us a Bible, right? And not only that, but look at all the other things he gives. He gives us evangelists. We had a missionary here. Man, he preached a good message, didn't he? Man, did he preach a good message. Gives us missionaries, gives us evangelists. I think of as a missionary more as an evangelist. I kind of do, because he is evangelizing the world, right? But not only that, he gives us pastors. We got a great pastor here. You probably aren't going to find one in a 100-mile radius as good that could teach you the Bible as good. I mean, folks, we've got everything God has. I mean, he's given us all the tools. We get teachers. Now, there's really good teachers out there, and I'm not one of them. We just try to do the best we can here. But folks, God gives us all these great things to be able to do his commandments. So we don't have any excuses. We really don't. And God's commandments, when you have all those tools in front of you, they're not grievous. They're not grievous in light of everything he's given us to help us keep them. They're not. Verse, you know what? We're going to go ahead and stop there. Give you guys a break here. It's Christmas Eve. Okay. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And Father, we just pray that we would just get these things in our hearts so that we can walk with you daily, and not only walk with you, but just be a blessing to others and love them the way we should, and not ever owe them anything but to love them. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.